Hey everyone, welcome to the first edition of the Crispy Yankee podcast. I just want to talk a little bit today about kind of what got me started in music and, how I proceeded, I guess, from there in my time. And I'm trying to think of what year that was actually. Probably 2005-ish, I want to say. It started off pretty natural. Back then we didn't really have Facebooks or anything like that I can even think of. We had, I think, LiveJournal or something strange, but I didn't mess with any of that stuff. So it was pretty much meeting a couple kids at my school. And from there, we just hit it off, went down to my buddy's parents' basement, just started playing, took my drum set over there and just spent the weekend, fiddling around. And those guys turned me on to all kinds of really incredible music at the time. Myself, I was more into like the Papa Roach and Seven Dust and Mushroom Head and, a little bit heavy radio rockish. And those guys were more into like the Taken Back Sunday, the From Autumn to Ashes, the Used, the Glass Jaws and awesome stuff like that that had literally changed my life. After listening and hearing that stuff, my style, the way I wanted to play, the way I wanted to be in a band and sound was all changed, after meeting those guys and starting to play with them. So after that, we started jamming, trying to learn a few cover songs, and I think one of the songs that I can remember was The Taste of Ink by The Used, that we ended up, shittily covering or whatever it may be in the basement, but we still couldn't find a singer, so we had bass, guitar, and drums. We were jamming out Rush style, and just nobody around us we could figure out could sing. We tried a few of our friends, and that didn't make sense. And then our bass player's older sister, her boyfriend, ended up kind of coming into the picture and being recommended to us through the grapevine of something. And, he came over one day to try out for us. Now, again, keep in mind, I had been listening to, the more radio, hard rock, barely heavy metal kind of stuff. Had not dealt with screaming before or anything like that. And I don't think he had fully either. So when he came over to practice that first day, we plugged in this little PA we had, kind of cranked it up and just started jamming, making a lot of noise, and just said, hey, show us what you got. So he grabbed the mic and kind of turned away, and this small little scrawny 6 foot tall, barely 100-something pound guy just screamed his lungs out, and it was the coolest sounding thing that I ever heard. And I think it blew the guys in my band away, instantly as well. We knew we were onto something. We had never heard something like that around the area or around us or, anybody doing that kind of nearby. So it was something cool and different, and we were onto something. So after spending some more time practicing over the next couple months, we started, thinking we were great, kind of wrote some crappy songs or whatever, our first songs, and started wanting to kind of figure out what would be the next step. So in our town where we're from, this small little place in Ohio, there's nothing really around, at least at the age of, 13 or whatever, 14 years old, to really go play at. No concert clubs within, an hour radius of us. It's literally sticks and farmlands and cows and all that. So the best thing that we could think of, and we came up with the best way to reach people at that time, was we used to have a Friday night dance locally for like all the fourth graders, fifth graders, sixth graders, whatever, where everybody would come to the local town hall. They would have a DJ, lights, concessions, and all that stuff. So we ended up approaching the lady who was in charge of it, and she thought it was probably a cute little thing. Oh, these guys want to have a band. They want to come play at the, local dance. Sure. So she agreed to let us come set up and do a couple songs. So that was our first gig that we ended up locking in, was a Friday night dance. So we go there, we bring our whole crew of all of our friends, and we talk this up. We get ready. I'm so extremely nervous, and this place is packed. I mean, we're talking every kid from school was there. The coolest girls, the coolest guys, everything was there. So we set up and get ready to rock out. Now, again, we had screaming, so there was hardly any singing in the songs. We were doing this new edgy thing, covering The Used, and our songs kind of emulated the used Glassjaw with screaming and double bass, what we could do of it, and, you know, heavy guitar riffs and all that stuff. So this lady had no clue what we sounded like when she agreed to let us play there. So we plug in, all our friends are there, we're probably in front of, you know, 250 kids packed in this place, and we just start jamming, and our singer turns around and he's screaming, and, you know, we're just getting it and trying to look cool, and I'm more nervous than I've ever been, shaking and, you know, dropping a stick. And we play through the set, you know, we do six songs, and people are kind of in shock. They don't know what they just saw. The kids have never seen a concert before in their whole life, and I think it definitely changed the scene around our area from there. You know, a lot of the people weren't necessarily into that style even, but it just was something so cool that they had never seen. They were intrigued to want to learn more. So that's what really started our movement in the local area, was that show. From there, we kept practicing on and on. You know, the adrenaline was pumping after doing that one show. Again, it was shittily played, but I mean, the adrenaline and the people were into it, and everybody cheered, and everybody wanted to talk to us. And I mean, it literally made us like the talk of the school, not to brag or sound anything, you know, braggy or whatever, but I mean, everybody wanted to know more. Again, whoa, what was that? You know, they just had never seen that kind of stuff before, and obviously their parents hadn't probably taken them to concerts or anything where they heard, you know, Marshall half stacks and drum sets cranking at him and all that stuff. So it was a cool feeling, you know, to definitely have that, and you could feel the vibe through the school and everybody asking about it and all that. So with that, we were over time able to kind of find this cool place in Cleveland, which is about an hour away from us, the city of course, to start getting invited to play gigs and shows, as well as kind of playing around, you know, the Akron scene at a few local bars and VFW halls and stuff, which they had an incredible scene going on, and I love that scene and still miss it. You know, some really awesome bands and scene and crowd and all that stuff taking place out around Akron, Suffield, Brimfield, Kent. But we started getting involved with the Cleveland scene and Peabody's at the time. So we ended up getting in this battle of the bands, which obviously some people love, some people hate, whatever. I'm not going to touch on that. But we started doing this. This is in seventh grade, I want to say, seventh or eighth grade. You know, so we had that buzz again at our local town. So what we were able to do is sell tickets to these things. I mean, every kid wanted to come and check out, you know, the show, the city, the concert and all that. And what we had was parents who were willing to chaperone and thought it was cool. So what we would do is sell 100, 150 tickets to this Battle of the Bands, you know, for the pre-qualifying round. We went up there and we played, and we still kind of sucked at the time, but everybody was hyped up and cheered for us. And somehow, no clue how, but we made it to the next round. So we were able to do the same thing a few months later. We carpooled and had the parents and all of our friends and families, and everybody wanted to come out and support this thing that we had going on. You know, sold a lot of tickets, and what happened again? The same thing. Somehow we made it to the finals, you know, and at that time, I mean, that was a really, really cool thing. Again, this is like, you know, 05 or something, I don't know, but that was a really, really cool thing at the time. So we ended up playing the finals and, you know, playing against bands that were really good and, you know, drew a strong crowd and were much older than us. I mean, we were in like eighth grade playing against like 35-year-old dudes. If you ever seen the movie, what the heck is it, School of Rock, where it's like the kids and they're in the Battle of the Bands playing against the 30-year-old guys who have the leather on and all that stuff. That's how it was. A bunch of drunk people, you know, and older people in the crowd at this bar in Cleveland, and then a bunch of, you know, 14, 15-year-old people and their moms and stuff just cheering and stuff. So anyways, whatever ended up happening somehow through, you know, practicing further, and this was over a course of probably 6 months or something like that, this all took place, but we ended up winning that Battle of the Bands, which was insane for us. Again, at the time, we won like $500, free recording time, a chance to open for, you know, one major national show without selling tickets and getting paid for it. So I mean, it gave us opportunity. Again, in eighth grade, this is a big thing you don't hear of or think of, you know, back then. So we're really stoked up, and that's what kind of actually took us into the studio for the first time to record our first songs and our first few song demo, was winning that Battle of the Bands. So again, another month or a couple months down the road, across the street of Peabody's was the studio, actually. It was called Satellite Studios, run by this dude named Mel. I forget his last name even, but kind of looked like the Penguin. And it was a really incredible place, really awesome sound. Everything was awesome about the place, except he was kind of sketchy. Again, being eighth graders, we showed up, and this guy's like showing up 2 hours late to the session and bringing a 12-pack of beer with him to, you know, have us record. And again, this was before programmed drums and all that stuff, so I mean, we're setting everything up, we're playing real time, you know, just tracking the drums and going in there and doing it raw. And you know, the product we ended up coming out with, somehow still to this day, like I like it's very raw sounding, but it's like cool at the same time too. I forget what we named that demo, but of course at that time, again, we put it out at like a Pure Volume or I don't know what the heck it was back then. MySpace probably came into the picture at that time, so we slowly started building off of either a Live Journal or a MySpace, talking to people, you know, and networking. Of course, passing out demos was a huge thing and still is a huge thing, I would say. After a good year, probably a year and a half or so with that, as I call it, my starter band, our starter band, we kept the same members, but it was time to kind of shed the old. We had grown more mature, changed our style, written way better songs to us at the time, and, you know, had a different style and image, and got more involved in the scene at the time, which was, you know, the Norma Jean, the From Autumn to Ashes, the Bled, Poison the Well, the Used, Taken Back Sunday. I mean, the list is endless, but, you know, we got heavily involved in that whole scene, and kind of changed our style to fit that, so we needed to change the name and all that as well, which we did, changed the logo up, and kind of took a break for a while, and then came back out swinging and started hitting the local scene strong again. And you know, pretty quickly after, we started building a buzz up again. I mean, the one thing we always wanted to stand out with was our live show, and just going up there and going as crazy as we could. You know, we wanted people to watch us and pay attention to us. And again, not to brag, but I still, to this day, that I've seen, besides like the Dillinger Escape Plan, who, I mean, we did take some influence from, but I mean, they were never like in our top bands we always listened to or watched or anything. But I mean, I still take pride in being one of the craziest bands I've ever seen live, as far as putting on a show for people. And you know, I mean, we're doing guitar swings, we're jump kicking, we're freaking rolling backwards. I mean, I'm jumping up and down on the drum kit, playing double bass, flailing everywhere with every limb that I've got. You know, the bass player is doing bass throws and the craziest guitar throws and jump kicks you've ever seen. I mean, it's just a wild time. And I think that's what stood out about our set again at that time, because people wanted something fresh and crazy and hectic, and for them, just, they didn't know, what are they going to do next? Holy shit, what's this going to do? What's this going to be? And the cool thing about it back then too is like, playing at venues didn't matter really. It was just like, we'll play any fucking where we can. If you want us to set up in your garage, it was real punk rock, you know, at the time, which wasn't so long ago, but we'll set up in a garage with a shitty PA and just rock out and drink beers. You know, we'll play in your backyard. We've played at fucking barbecues, graduation parties, random events, car shows, random park pavilions. I mean, you name it, we've set up and played there and do the same thing. You just throw down, and it grew a movement for us at the time for the band. And with doing that, it was incredible to see, because we would be, you know, headlining shows around the Akron area, and we would draw 100 kids. You know, it was so crazy to see 7,500 kids would come out and go nuts with us. And that lasted for a while, and we expanded regions and played with a ton of other bands and started getting even a little label interest. But things, you know, of course, with time kind of fall apart. So that's what happened with that. It kind of did its course and never went further. I took a little bit of time off from being in a band. I don't remember, again, the exact time frame or age group I was at that time or whatever, but of course took some time off to just hang out, play drums, hang out with my friends, party, work, do all that fun stuff in your teens you do. But I still wanted to have a band, so that's shortly after I started a group with a couple buddies of mine, Glenn, who was in my other previous project, and then my good buddy Josh, and he was a great writer and still is a great writer and lyricist. So we kind of had this grindcore, the only way I can compare it is like the number 12 looks like you, you know, we're into the most Moat, if you're even familiar with that band, but that's kind of the demographic we were taking and starting to get into and approaching and evolving towards. And we ended up getting into a small basement studio with Nick Borchowski, who was or is the drummer of Forever in Terror, or at the time Seventh Plague. I think they were about to make the change of name. But anyways, so that's kind of when everything started to come together in place, and we were recording the demo, and they mentioned something about, you know, needing a vocalist. And I had known a couple of the guys. I had known Nate a little bit, I think Josh a tiny bit. Johnny, I believe, was still in the band, and I had known him since probably we've been little kids, just our grandfathers were friends and whatever. Through the scene, we've known each other and played a few shows and always had kind of a fun rivalry even and stuff. So when we talked about the vocalist thing, I mean, obviously it was cool to try out, but I mean, I didn't expect much from it. I definitely didn't know shit about screaming or, you know, becoming a front man. I was a drummer. I had played tons of shows and traveled, and I had booked tons of shows and had tons of knowledge. And, you know, the main thing I feel like I had was hunger. You know, I mean, it's all I wanted. I was thirsty to try out and see what it could bring. And, you know, things ended up working out, and I was selected to join Forever in Terror. So that was a really exciting time for me.